Today on Real Life Radio.
Do you have hope in Jesus? Do you know what it means? And do you know why you can have that confidence? Is because he'll never let you down. He'll never fail. He will come through. And as we learned last week, he's in a covenant relationship with his Father. Jesus must keep his promise. No matter what you do with it, he still has to keep it. He'll never fail you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a Study in 2 Peter, with a message called The End, Part 2. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but you can be prepared for it. Peter has only a little time left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us about the danger of only knowing who Jesus is, as opposed to having a relationship with him. You see, we need to ask ourselves what it means to be a last days Christian. To stir ourselves up and live as those who look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is coming again soon, so we still have a mission and a purpose here on earth, to keep working and growing in grace and to share with others what Christ means to us and how he's changed our lives. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our hope in the Lord will not fail us. He will never leave us or disappoint us. Jesus always comes through with his promises. And as believers, we're to keep our eyes on him no matter what this hurtful and chaotic world throws at us. And now in his message called The End, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You want to be wise? Because anybody can be wise if they choose to. You may be, you know, your IQ brain. Smart is one thing. Well, I don't care about smart. The Bible doesn't say, you know, pray and ask for smartness. And I shall give it you. No, but God says, pray for wisdom and I'll give it to you. You know what? Listen, somebody who doesn't know how to read or write or never got out of the third grade can ask God for wisdom and they can make the most brilliant decisions in life while the PhD keeps crashing into the same wall. I'm telling you right now. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a bear of very little brain. That's okay. Ask God for wisdom. No, I'm serious. And he gives wisdom. And here's the deal. He's going to tell you how you ought to be living in light of eternity. What really matters? He's not saying don't have the car or don't have the house or don't have the clothes or don't have the Birkenstocks. He's not saying not to have them. He's saying don't live for them. Don't think that you're going to get that and it's going to add to your identity. It won't work. You only fool yourself. No, live in a way that your life, watch, don't get some Victorian image in your mind about these words, holy conduct and godliness. We have a tendency to think when we hear those words that we all put our hair back in a bun, no makeup, black, get a buggy with a horse. That's holy. That's not holy. In fact, James tells us, listen, it's great. A lot of women have been beaten up in religious circles with elders using the book of James that says, don't make yourself up and don't be given over to, it's plaiting your hair. They would put jewelry in their hair, adorning of the hair, plaiting of the hair. Don't make yourself all beautiful and expect you to be beautiful on the inside. James didn't say not to look nice. He's saying, don't think if you look nice that you're going to be nice on the inside. I mean, we all know, right? You can see somebody drop dead gorgeous. They can be beautiful on the outside and then they open their mouth. It's like, wow. That person's so handsome, or they're so attractive. And then they go, and they open their mouth and it's like, oh gosh, what a horrible heart. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say don't. In fact, Jay Vernon McGee again says, God's talking about the inside of the heart. Take the word of God and let it work on your heart and cause the word of God to take root so that godliness is wrought in you. It's strengthened in you and not the putting on of apparel, he said, or the dressing up of the flesh. And McGee says, listen, ladies, he said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Isn't that only he can get away with it. I said, McGee said that. But inside, all of us have access to this book to apply it to our inside lives. And the Bible tells us that in light of everything burning up, that we should be investing in spiritual investments. And this is the big issue of our lives today. This is what we want to do. We want to make sure that that's happening because everything, as he says, is going to be, look, verse 11, dissolved. So our hope in him, listen, will not fail us. That's good news. Do you have hope in Jesus? Do you know what it means? And do you know why you can have that confidence? It's because he'll never let you down. He'll never fail. He will come through. And as we learned last week, he's in a covenant relationship with his Father. Jesus must keep his promise. No matter what you do with it, he still has to keep it. He'll never fail you. He'll never fail you. Verse 11 goes on and says, what manner of persons ought you to be? This is fun. See the word manner? The word manner in Greek means, it's where we get the word exotic. You say, what? In what exotic of person ought you to be? Exotic? Yep, the word means foreign, exotic, not of this world. Changes it, huh? As a believer, in light of everything that's going to be destroyed in this physical world, how should I be living in light of eternity? Well, the life that I'm to live is to be exotic. What does that mean? Not of this world. And you know all your friends who know that you're a Christian, they think you're exotic. They don't use that word. They use word like nuts, crazy, wacko, right? They look at you and they can't figure you out. You are foreign to them. And that's true. We have a different passport. Think about it, right? We have a different passport. We've got a different citizenship. We've got a whole different purpose. We have a whole different reason. We live for a completely different world. Do we affect this world? Yes. Do we let the light of God's righteousness shine? Absolutely. We're commanded. Do we affect the culture by our decisions? Totally. No spectators. In the Christian church. But we're just occupying till he comes for us because we're moving on. You guys, back in the hippie days, there was this really goofy looking sticker and it was this guy, this hippie, of course, and he's leaning back with the peace sign and it either said, keep on trucking, or it said, just passing through. And it was like this, hey man, you know, dude, wow, love. But the Christians adopted that in the 70s, and we began to say, just passing through. Just passing through, because our citizenship's not here. We are foreigners. Ought manner, persons ought you to be, and the word ought is so simple. It means to mimic Jesus. It's such a sweet thing. Walk in his steps. You see his steps? Step in them. It means to step in the same steps. Little kids do that. They step in your step. You want to watch your little kid? Take him to the beach. Take him to some mud hole. Is whatever it is. It's got to be something where they can see where your foot was. And you want, you don't have to tell them. They'll just do it. You ever seen little kids try to walk inside your shadow? That's exactly the meaning of this word. That's how we're out to live. What does that mean? That means I should try to be like Jesus at every situation that I encounter in my life every day. Do I fail? Miserably. Just saying it to you makes me sick, right? But that's what I'm supposed to do. But what happens when you don't? You tell him, Lord, please forgive me. That was absolutely wrong. I need to get up and I need to keep going. He'll never leave us. His hope will not leave us. And we can rejoice in that because what he's called you to do is called you to live it to the end. In fact, Jesus, listen, in John 17, 14, Jesus says, I have given them, by the way, this is high priestly prayer. It's the priestly prayer of Christ. He's praying to the Father and he says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He said that to his followers. Pretty remarkable. And then thirdly, we'll end right here. Verse 11 ends by the fact that his hope will not disappoint. God, listen, our hope in him will never disappoint. Have you been disappointed in life? I understand that. We all have. Can I say this as a father figure to you? Get over it. Oh, this guy hurt me. She hurt me. The company hurt me. Two things. Get over it and get used to it. I'm telling you right now. We're in this world. This world hurts us. One of the reasons why you can be angelic, you're still going to get hurt. Because this world brings pain. You'll make it. Keep your eye on Jesus. Watch what happens. In fact, with everybody throwing stuff at you at work and hating you, there's somebody at work watching you, and they're wondering why you haven't choked out your coworkers. They're wondering why you didn't punch anybody. They're thinking, man, if they would have done that to me, I'd have knocked the guy out. But you didn't. And they're wondering, what's this guy made out of? What a foreigner this guy is. And don't be surprised if they ask you someday on break, hey, what's with you? They said all that stuff about you. You didn't even key their car. Where do you get this peace from? Where do you get this attitude from? And then you tell them, oh, I've thought about keying their car. But then Jesus said, don't key their car. Right? We all have the same thoughts. It's what you do with it after you think it. Does the temptation take hold and you do it? Or does the temptation flop right there? Because Jesus said, no. He'll never disappoint. His hope doesn't do that. Always causes us to buoyant upward in holy conduct and godliness. Godliness is living for God. Holy conduct is my lifestyle. We end here. Listen, please. You and I live in a world right now where there are these massive, impregnable sacred altars. One of them is maybe perhaps it's a lifestyle I've chosen. Well, what if the lifestyle will kill you? What do you think it's a great lifestyle to drink this or to infuse that or to practice that? What if it will kill you? Granted, as humans, we're able to make any decision we want to, but just remember, with every decision we make, it is an invisible, unbreakable, or relentless law, and that is that of sowing and reaping. There's no way you're going to get around it, no matter who you are. Well, I want to do this because I'm free to make my own decisions. You are free to make your own decisions. Just make sure that your decisions then about you don't hurt anybody else. And you do need to know the consequences, and it's my business to tell you the consequences. It's your business to do what you do. But just remember this, we're not in this alone. So when the Bible talks about holy conduct and godliness, it's talking about taking the thing that you want to do, or maybe you have a propensity to do, no matter what it is, fill in the blank. All of us were raised with what is known as learned response behavior. We're all victims of that. Victims meaning this, you will have an overwhelming, almost second nature response, maybe first nature response, to do that thing when times get tough, because that's what your mom and dad did. Learned response behavior. When you were 6 years old and you saw your mom and dad go through financial trouble and your dad reached over and grabbed Jim Beam or Jack Daniels and knocked a few of them back, then in your mind, you said to yourself, verbally or just optically, that's how you deal with problems. I got it. You may not think that at the moment, but you actually have that embossed upon you. And then, you know what? You might be 13, 17, 21 years old, and you have a problem that hits you right in the face, and you don't even realize it, but you just go right over, and you say, well, I can't take this anymore. And instead of getting on your knees and praying, or instead of crying out to God, you cry out to Jim Beam. And you pour it, and you drink it back, and you go, ah, all right, for about 20 minutes. And then you got to go visit at the altar of Jack Daniels. It never ends. Or you can go straight to God. Because this thing that we have in our lives, we're going to act like our parents, good, bad, or ugly. And Jesus said, that's being born again, is to act like your Father in heaven. You listen, you're here. You can't get over here from here. You got to go from here to there, to him, to get over here. Listen, it's starting new. It's starting over. You know inside of you that if you could, you'd start over. You know it's true. We just don't talk about it. The guy at the store will tell you, just restart your phone. I can't figure it out. Something's wrong. It's not working right. Just restart it. Is your computer messing up? Go to troubleshoot.com. First thing, try restarting your computer. And you've wished, if I could just press a restart button. Well, you can. You want to press it? That's your choice. It's available. He's available to you. You have to decide. Father, we thank you for your truth, and God, you give us these reminders. And I have to confess, Lord, I've had a bad attitude about my state burning down. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it sounds. I don't like the way it smells. I don't like the thought of mountains and hills and deer and bunnies and lizards and coyotes and mountain lions getting burned up. And if that's true in the physical realm, I can judge right now. I know it's wrong. And then on top of it, that there's some maniac arsons doing this? Lord, that's just demonic. Lord, to think that all of these things that we see, even this morning, the sun rose and it was red because of the fires and the clouds. We have all these reminders in life, and yet we sit, as Jeremiah warned, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we're not saved. All of these indicators, all of these warnings. Last week, record heat of all time. For this region. How many more warnings do we need? This world is coming apart, and we look around, there's no firm place to grab onto, so we think. And then coupled with that is just the knowledge of our lives and what it is, what it could have been, and it's not. Am I damaged goods? What am I? Who am I? And what have I done? My dear friend, right now, whoever you may be, whatever you've ever done, whatever's going on in your life, right now, come to Jesus Christ. There's not one argument that you can give that is remotely considerable. There's no excuse as to why you will not come to Jesus, especially in this place. Look around. We don't need you to take up another seat. We don't want your money. We don't need you to do anything. Look around. Why will you not come to meet him? Yesterday, 1,000 people stood out in the Pacific Ocean and publicly acknowledged Christ. And they went down into the waters of baptism and they came back up in the Bible announces to us that that act is a symbolic act of an actual effect that took place in them beforehand. They first gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They were born again, Jesus said. And that's the great reset. That is being made new. That is restarting your computer. To be born again is to believe this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that is God come to earth in flesh, Jesus Christ bought you a ticket to heaven. Jesus Christ requires that you acknowledge that by saying, Lord, forgive me. You are correct. What you did is true, and I appreciate it, and I want that forgiveness, and I want to give you my life because you and you alone are worthy, and I want to live for you now. I don't want to drive this ship anymore. I'm done with this. It's a train wreck. I want to come to you, Jesus. I want to be a Christ follower today. My friend, listen, before you have a chance to come forward, you need to know you're not joining this church. You need to know that you're not signing up for some club. This is between you and God. But just like those people yesterday in the ocean, they publicly acknowledged Christ, and you getting up and coming forward today is you acknowledging Jesus. So please, everyone remain seated. We're gonna sing this song and be honest to yourself. Be honest before God. If God is speaking to you, get up and come forward. I'll lead you in prayer in a moment. I'll pray for and with all of you who come up. But if God is speaking to your heart that today's the day and you're not ready for the end, and God is saying you better get ready now. The end is coming. You need to respond. Let's sing this song. And you respond. And if also you're having a battle in your head and your heart, that's proof positive. He's speaking to you. Don't lie to him. Don't lie to you. Come forward if today's your day to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we ask you to bless, Lord, these that are here right now as they have stood to acknowledge Jesus as Lord in Christ. Father, as they pray right now to accept you, we pray, Lord, for them that you'd overwhelm them like you do, like you've done us. Amen. Lord, thank you, Lord, that for some you've come into our lives like a bull rushing in. And then for others, Lord, you've come in like just an absolute perfect still, gentlemen, you know exactly what you're doing to each and every one of us. Friends, as you're standing here right now, will you pray? Will you pray this and mean it? Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I'm asking you to restart me and to make my life new. I confess today, Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I give you my life before these people as witness and before your holy angels. And I pray this day you would hold me close. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The End, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. The End, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack is going to be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold, He Comes. Special guests, Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. Now, the streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers for a $5 purchase. By the way, also Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations are available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. We also have a special opportunity available for churches that would like to host this conference through a live simulcast event with their congregations to watch the conference together. Now, if your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference, or to find a church in your area hosting the event, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.